You're listening to the West End Frame Show.
Hello and welcome to the West End Frame Show, putting theatre in the frame and keeping you up to date with everything going on in the West End and beyond. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins, and I'm very excited to introduce you to this week's co-host. After touring the UK as Simon Senior in Kinky Boots, he recently made his West End debut in The Book of Mormon. He's also one of the hosts of a brand new podcast called the TBH Podcast, which I was watching last night while I was getting ready for this. And it covers literally everything from theatre to music, sport, society and beyond. All of the above and lots more. Welcome to the West End Frame Show's Fred Smiley.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How are you doing? So you're obviously, you were in the Book of Mormon and then West End closed down, but you've kind of launched this podcast and you're trying to like keep yourself busy in different ways. So how have you been doing? What kind of emotions have you been going through?
Oh gosh, it was crazy. So yeah, I made my West End debut on the 3rd of February. And then, yeah, a couple of weeks, obviously did a couple of shows and stuff. And then like, yeah, I did about 6 weeks worth of shows. And then that happened. We came into work and then, yeah, we got the news. Because when Boris said, obviously avoid the theatres, avoid the pubs. So we came down for warm up and that's when we had the meeting with the company manager. And then everyone was like, oh, it's actually happening. Because we were getting the feel that it was going to happen, but we didn't think it was going to happen as soon as it did.
Broadway had shut down, hadn't it? And we could have like, everyone knew what was coming. But then it still felt really sudden when it happened. How did the podcast that you've started come about? How did TBH podcasts come about?
Yeah, so how did it happen again? So I was doing this Instagram kind of interviews with a lot of my like theatre friends, and then I kind of stopped it when the whole movement happened. It just got crazy.
Black Lives Matter,
not in the frame of mind to do it. And then Shaq, who was in Motown, and Michael were doing a podcast already, and then they kind of asked me to do an interview with them, and I said, oh, you know, I'm looking to do a podcast, like, so if you are looking for anyone that wants to join, let me know. And he goes, oh, you know what, we'll make it a three, so yeah, you can do it, because he asked me a couple of weeks back about it. So then yeah, it became, we thought of a name, and then yeah, we just got cracking with it. It was crazy.
And I love it, because it's literally like three friends sitting down and kind of putting the world to right. Like, it's so good. I started watching it last night. I was watching the one that I think it was called Black Students Matter. And you were all talking
about the musical theatre. Yeah.
You were all talking about musical theatre and talking about your experiences at drama school. So it was like really, it was a really important conversation you were having. But then you went on and you were talking about funny audition experiences. So like 1 minute it's like really serious and you're taking all this information and it's really funny. But it's because you all get on so well and you have such great chemistry, it feels like you're just listening to a chat between two mates.
Yeah, it's a conversation. You can go on and on for hours, but you like, we've got to keep it to like an hour and a bit.
And literally no topic is off limits. It's just kind of discussing everything.
No holding back.
No, I'm with an expert right now. I'm in like safe hands. So tell me about Book of Mormon, because obviously the show's been going for a long time now.
It's been 7, yeah.
Had you seen it before? Did you know it? Well, like when the audition came around, was it a show that you really wanted to do? Well, how much did you know before you went into it?
So I heard about Mormon probably like maybe about four years ago. Found out about Book of Mormon when I was in university, actually, at the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, some of the guys were really obsessed with it. Like, they were obsessed with the Mormon stuff. And I was just like, oh, it's probably a show I can't be in. I didn't really do too much research on it. I just knew about the, hello, my name is. So I just like did not, I was like, oh, that's not something I could do. So I didn't really take too much attention to it. And then a couple years later, I had an audition. This is about 2-3 years ago now, about 3 years, I will say now. And I had an audition for it.
And then you did get to go and see it, right? Because you had a friend in it.
Just before he'd finished his contract. And I was like, oh my God, this is a show I actually can do. I know about it now. I could do my research about it. So yeah, I went to see that. And then, I got Kinky Boots about a year later. Got Kinky Boots a year later after that. And then I auditioned to that towards the end of my contract at Kinky Boots. And then, yeah, I got it. So, but yeah, I love the show. It's a show that I said I had to do. Like, it was either Beautiful On Tour or Book a Mormon. They were the two shows I wanted to do. And I knew they were coming about when I was finishing the contract to Kinky Boots. So I'm glad I got it, you know.
Mission accomplished. And what was your track? You were in the ensemble, right? But you had a cover as well.
Yeah, I'm second cover general.
And did you get to go on?
No, I didn't get to go on. I just finished cover rehearsals, actually. I think I finished cover rehearsals a week before we had stopped due to COVID. Mm. So crazy. So I knew I probably definitely would have gone on, especially I know more towards the summer I would have gone on, because obviously that's when a load of people had holidays and stuff like that. But yeah, I didn't get to go on. That would have been my like first cover, because I hadn't covered anyone in prior jobs. So
were you enjoying, once you woke up, were you enjoying like getting the flow of it? Did you feel like you were starting down and getting to, I mean, because audiences go so crazy, that show. I always forget, when I kind of have been back to see it over the years, I always forget how mad like the responses are. Like audiences just kind of go wild for the show, and it's so quick. It's like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, it's honestly the opening night, obviously my agent was in, I had an old like course director that she was in, she's got her agency, Michelle Blair. And she was in, because I felt the pressure, because I was like, she taught me in college. So I was like, I got to get this down. That was like, Russell Smith was there as well. And I was just like, oh my God, I have to do this. But yeah, it was just surreal. It's such a funny show. You don't have to play up to it. You just have to act, really. And the show is funny itself. It's written that way. So you just have to do it, really. It's such a phenomenal show. You have to really hold it together, because some things are just so funny. And... there are times when you just want to laugh, but you can't. I love it. I honestly love the show. It's a great show.
Does that kind of fun energy transfer backstage as well? Are you like cracking 100%. Each other? Are you being stupid? Like what happens?
We are definitely roughing each other to go on and fail. Should we say that? But we are. Backstage is so fun, especially the Mormons. The Mormons are so cheeky. They will do even stuff on stage. Like obviously no one will know, but you just have to hold it together. You really have to do it. And it's within character, you know, you can just make them choices. But yeah, backstage is so funny, just before you. And it's like serious scenes as well. But yeah, it's such a laugh. It's such a big family. It's really great.
Yeah. We have lots to talk about today. So we're going to dive in. We've got lots more talking to do. Coming up on today's episode, we are going to be discussing Turn Up and Hamilton, as well as all the latest news about Showstoppers, Godspell and Wicked. So first up, we're going to talk about some of this week's theatre news. And we, of course, have to kind of start with an update from what's happening in the industry with regards to theatre closure and the progress that's kind of been made this week. We found out this week we literally had a couple of days notice from the government giving the green light for outdoor performances to begin as we enter stage 3 of the government's roadmap to opening theatres. Obviously, I think one of the biggest difficulties here is that I know there's lots going on, but the government are giving these kind of green lights, but they're not understanding the scale of what different industries have to work. I'm sure it's the same for so many different industries, because any industry has to prepare for a reopening of any sort. 3 days notice or 2 days notice, I think it might have been, for outdoor theatre to recommence. Is it really enough for the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre to get a whole season together or whatever? But the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre did actually say that they're exploring safe and economic ways for them to reopen for a shorter period later this summer. So obviously they've still got the social distance, there's so many different factors that they've got to incorporate into it. But hopefully we'll get to see some outdoor theatre this summer, which is
that'd
exciting,
be amazing,
right?
Yeah, I think everyone's just really looking forward to it. And I know Six is the first to kind of do the whole drive-in and see a bit of the show. I haven't seen Six yet, actually, so I do need to...
Oh my God. Do you drive there? Do you have access? Because the thing is, like, you need a car to be able to go.
Yeah, I do drive. So it's something that I need to go and do, really.
You can do it. Well, actually, they just announced literally today that they've added more dates in Milton Keynes and in London, because literally the whole week in Milton Keynes had sold out. So people need to get those tickets before they get snapped up. The government also kind of issued this extensive guidance on staging safe performances. The culture minister told Sky News that the government wants to announce shortly that theatre can reopen indoors with social distancing. Again, it's really hard economically, but at least some stuff then might be able to reopen. And the Daily Mail reported that smaller shows such as Six and The Woman in Black could be the first shows to reopen with social distancing. distancing on stage and off stage, perhaps around kind of October time.
Yeah.
So that would be, that's like promising. But then the real massive issue is Panto, because obviously Panto brings in so much money for regional theatres. And they've kind of said that we won't, the government won't issue any guidelines until kind of September time, but producers kind of need to know in August. So it's a big headache for everybody.
It really is a shame, you know, because, you know, you're talking about casting and stuff, and I heard news about them just using leads to do Panto, but that just takes away the whole excitement of Panto, from the kids, you know, to the dancers, and it just, that makes a Panto, that makes a show. So if you're going to take all those away, it's just, it's not the same for me.
Can you imagine going to your Panto without the, like, the dancers and the big musical numbers and the random songs that they throw in?
Yeah, it's just, it wouldn't be this. I wouldn't feel it, to be honest. But it gets people work. But then what about the, all those dancers that are out of work still, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's still, it's a long way off. So hopefully we'll have more progress by then. But we've got to wait and see what happens. Yeah. In other news, Ruthie Henschel, Sam Tutty, Rhea Jones, Daniel Johnson, Jenny Fitzpatrick, and lots of incredible people are set to star in the online 50th anniversary concert of Godspell, which is being streamed online between the 27th and 29th of August. I've never seen Godspell. Have you seen it?
Neither have I. I've heard a lot of Godspell, but I've not seen it. So
I've literally... Oh, my God, you keep doing this. I have seen it.
You have seen it.
I did this last week with the Mousetrap. Yeah, I saw a tour. I saw it at the Hackney Empire on tour many years ago. It's like a crazy. I'm so bad. It's because it's such a mad. It's a mad show. It's like there's songs and belting, and it's a crazy concept. God, that's so awful. Sorry, Godspell. I have seen Godspell, but obviously I'm excited to have my memory refreshed.
Yeah, I will try and tune in 100%.
And then you've been watching, I've seen on your kind of Twitter, you've been watching quite a lot of stuff. You've been on Disney Plus, you've been watching
Yes, I have. I've been trying.
You've been
Frozen great. 2.
Frozen 2 is so good. Did you like it?
I prefer Frozen 1.
Controversial. Yeah,
a lot of people are like, what are you on about? But I think the songs are definitely more catchy, and it was the first one, wasn't it? And the first one is always hard to beat. But then I've seen on Twitter that quite a few people have said Frozen 2 is better, so it's debatable, but I prefer Frozen 1. But yeah, I felt it was just a bit, it dragged on a bit, and some songs I was a bit like, obviously Into the Unknown, like, come on, that is great. It's honestly phenomenal. But yeah, I prefer the Frozen 1.
I love Show Yourself is so beautiful. The whole
Show Yourself bit. Oh yes, oh, that, yeah, that one. Oh. But,
first time I saw Frozen 2, I definitely was like, I prefer Frozen 1. But then I just watched, and I definitely preferred the music in the first one as well. But then I just watched, when it came out on Disney Plus, I just watched it again. And I really, really liked the music. And I always loved the story of Frozen 2. I like it's a bit darker. And some of those moments with Olaf, were like when Olaf recreates Frozen 1, I was literally crying. Yeah, yeah.
There were a lot of smart little things in there, weren't there?
Really clever. But I love, we were talking about this on this podcast a couple of weeks ago. There's a documentary called Into the Unknown, Making a Frozen 2, which is also on Disney Plus.
Oh, wow.
And it's all about the process that went into making it, and I thought it was so interesting. And I think that maybe sympathize with the film a little bit more when you see what they went through to make it, and how fast it was, and how many people were working on it. And that was really, really fascinating. That's one of my favorite things that I've watched, that documentary. So yeah, I just love Frozen. Give me on stage, give it to me, the sequel, the first one, I don't care. I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Also, Showstoppers will present the socially distanced improvised musical on the 21st of July. Love Showstoppers, so can't wait for that. Wicked has extended its West End booking period until the end of 2021. And the Southwark Playhouse has confirmed that its new venue will open in Elephant and Castle in early 2021.
I saw Wicked for the first time last year, and I was blown away. I don't know why it took me so long, but
Have you been?
I know. Do you know what? I've always been like, oh, I'll see that because it's gonna be the West End forever. I'll see it. And then I was like, you know what, Fred, you actually need to go.
So,
I got taken there and I went to go and watch it, and I was just like, wow. Honestly, I was blown away.
I don't think anything beats seeing Wicked for the first time. I think when you see it the first time, you don't know much about it. That's the best kind of way to experience it.
Honestly, I saw Nikki Bentley as cover bar, and that was, she was just, wow.
Her belt, yeah, fierce. Time to talk about some shows. And I know you've watched this. I saw you again on social media. I mean, I feel like I've been stalking you. I saw you tweeting about this last night. So we're going to talk about this concert that was staged called Turn Up. So in response to Black Lives Matter, Ryan Carter and Nicole Dennis were put together this incredible concert with Club 11 called Turn Up. Quite a lot of it was filmed at Cadogan Hall. There's other kind of contributions that were filmed in people's homes and put together beautifully. And it was basically celebrating incredible Black performers, Black musicians, Black creatives. And it was all raising money for incredible charities. The Bell Project, I've spoken about the Bell Project quite a lot over the last few weeks. Okra Project, who support Black trans people and do amazing, amazing work. Black Curriculum, and UK Black Pride. I want to hand over to you. What did you think?
Honestly, it was great. Yeah, I tuned in yesterday and I was just like, wow, it was great. It was great to see so many performers from all around the world, do a little bit. But obviously you can't fit all the Black performers. That's the thing, there's so many. There are so many performers, Black performers, Black brown performers that we just don't know of. But I think it's great how they obviously showcase like the, you know, class of 2020, some drama schools getting involved as well. But I think there are so many people out there as well they could have, you know, chipped in and put in there as well, because I think there are so many performers out there. And I think it's great seeing the familiar faces, but also we also do need to see faces that we're not familiar with, because there are so many. And there are so many people that have done shows that you just don't know of, because they just live their life, do show to show, and you don't know. But I think the only problem I have is not just with that, but with other shows, with other things as well that I've seen during this whole lockdown, is seeing the same videos with the same performers. I did a tweet about it actually,
and it went viral.
Literally just so many retweets, and I just said that, you know, seeing the same faces on every single video, charity video, it kind of just makes it like look like there's only like a certain amount of performers.
And you were speaking in your podcast that I listened to about how there still isn't enough kind of recognition for ensembles and for swings. And you're 100%. Talking about Hamilton and how hard they work. And that's so true. And they still don't get the same respect. Kind of not, you mentioned kind of like in a theatre as well, as not just from the audiences and from the fans, but also from you know, within the actual building as well, which is something that's still really important to talk about.
100%. I will always fight for the underdog. I think because of myself, I always see myself as an underdog. And, you know, it took me so long to get in the door. I think I was auditioning for like a year and a half. Obviously, I know a lot of people do it longer, but I only just got back into it a couple of years ago, probably about three, four years ago. So it took like about a year and a half to kind of get in the door. I mean, just auditioning and being seen. And, you know, luck enough, people like Jill Green casting and Pippa Aurelia, they gave me the opportunity. So thanks to them. But yeah, I will always be for the underdog. I feel like, you know, swings, ensemble members are kind of looked down upon sometimes. Kind of looked down upon when you do a show, if you're not a lead. Just my experience for being on tour. You know, you go to stage door, or, oh, who are you again? Or, you know.
Some people thought you were Lola.
Oh, yeah. Some people thought I was Lola. I got that a couple of times. I was like, sometimes I just had to say, yeah. And it became a running joke with the cast, just saying, there's Lola. And I just like, shut up, guys. But it just became a running joke. You know, some of the females in the cast got called Lola as well. And it's just a running theme. I think people just go and see a show and they just see you as background. You know, you just see the scene filler. And that's not the case, because some shows, like I said, regards to like Hamilton, Wicked, they do the most. They do a lot. And that's not to say that the leads don't do enough or don't deserve to be paid.
Exactly. But you take like a show like Wicked, for example. Imagine if you only had Alpha and Glinda on stage. It wouldn't be anywhere near as spectacular or incredible as it is with that whole company. Every single person in that building, on and off stage, is so important, integral to what we see, what comes
100%.
together. 100%. But going back to Turn Up, I know that was a more general discussion, but specifically for Turn Up, I thought the lineup was incredible because there were some amazing people who have been in lots of shows, but it was nice to see some different people.
There were a lot of new people.
Yeah. And people who's often kind of maybe like supporting roles or standbys and stuff. And to watch all this talent, everyone was so phenomenal. Like,
it really was.
When it started, I was like, are you sure you want to put that one first? Are you sure you want to put this one early? And you're like, whoa, okay. Yeah, like, they could have put it in any order, any running order, and it would have been still an emotional like journey. And I felt so overwhelmed at the end of it, just from watching all these performances. And there were moments where I watched it with a friend, and there's moments where like I stood up, or when he stood up, or we were like screaming and clapping. We were applauding the whole way through, and I bet we were not the only people who were kind of applauding after some of those.
Yeah, I was just clapping. I was on my laptop, just like doing that at the end of every performance. Cedric Neil, I honestly love that man. His voice is like butter. It's just, he's great. He's phenomenal. And there were so many more.
It was the way Cedric Neil had his glasses on his head. The way he had his glasses on his head, like just kind of just so chilled. Like he could just do anything. Insane. But yeah, so many incredible people. Well, one moment for me actually talking about Wicked, on the theme of Wicked, seeing Alexia Kadeem and Brittany Johnson unite. Obviously, Alexia was the first and still only Black Alpha that we've had in the West End. And then Brittany Johnson was the first Black Linda on Broadway. She's a standby. And to see them perform that song together, I thought was really emotional.
It was so well put together, yeah.
And to see
whoever got the talent, I was just like, wow, you did a great job.
And there was quite a lot of stuff on social media, people saying like how emotional it was. Lots of Black performers saying how emotional it was to see two performers of colour performing that song together. Because, you know, Wicked's a good example. Actually, we haven't seen that much diversity in the leads at all over the years. And there's no reason for it. It was only recently when Britney played Glinda that they changed the breakdown, apparently, for Glinda not having to be white, which is baffling when it's set in this magical world of Oz that is not a real place. There's no reason for that at all.
Everyone needs representation. This is the thing. Every single person needs it. And when you don't see yourself represented, what have you got to strive for? And that's my issue with it. And I'm so glad that, you know, changes I hope will be made. Changes I feel like will be made. It was great. We can't
talk about every number because we'll leave something out and there's nothing that's worth leaving out. But Ain't No Mountain High Enough at the end was amazing. When the Hairspray number, I Know Where I'm Going, and like Sharon D. Clarke and Brenda Edwards and all these amazing, Mother Mortimer was just insane. I'm Every Woman broke me, like it was Kind of Woman, Rachel John, Jay Perry, like everybody. I loved what Vinegar Strokes did, and all the reading. So people who didn't catch it, I mean, more like you missed out. Hopefully there'll be some sort of encore thing, or we'll get it on Netflix or something. There's all sorts of talk on social media.
That should have been on TV.
The world needs to see this talent, and I think it would actually open a lot of people's eyes to see it. But I think on the last night that they said they had the biggest audience on the last night. So that showed that it was spreading and the word was getting around. They had these readings and kind of poetry and different kind of talks during it. And they were all beautifully done as well. So there's some really powerful poetry that was performed. And there's also little segments for each of the charities, which was really important. And just, again, highlighting the amazing work that these charities do. And I thought it was really well put together. And out of everything I think that I've watched, all the streamed stuff, all these concerts, all even the theatre, for me, it was the one that gave me the biggest experience of kind of feeling like I was in the theatre, watching a piece of theatre, like I said, applauding, emotional highs and lows. Like it really, I felt like I was part of something. It was really nice to feel that.
So I feel like I'm in church, like I've been taken to church. It was great. It was like gospel. I just loved it.
Yeah.
The performers, I was clapping. I was like, I'm only things. I need to calm down. My mum's like, shh.
I think Turn Up was a really important concert. obviously, yes, it was incredible, amazing talent, top-notch vocals, but it was also a lot more than that. It's something that the world needs to see. It's, this platform needs to grow. And like you were just saying, we need to ensure that everyone is represented within theatre, and there is so much more to be done. Hopefully, this is just the start for this project. We need it on Netflix. We need it everywhere. And I am ready to turn up again and again and again and again. I'm ready for more. I'm ready for lots, lots more. Watch this space, and hopefully we'll hear some more about a future for Turn Up. And massive shout out to everyone involved. Like, amazing. The other thing that I want to talk about was, well, it's Hamilton, and there's this Hamilton documentary. It was not a documentary, it's like a, it's a discussion, it's a special program that's on Disney Plus called History Has Its Eyes on You. So last week on this podcast, myself and Marika Swade were talking all about Hamilton on Disney Plus. Fred, I saw you watched it too. Yeah. Have you recovered? How are you?
I need to be in that show. That's what I'm going to say. I'll do anything to be in that show. It was so good. Like,
who would you want to be?
Do you know what? See, this is the thing. There's so many characters. Probably maybe Jefferson. Maybe.
Yeah.
What's his name? Is it Jefferson, the one that speaks in French? Who was the one that speaks in French?
Yeah, Jefferson's like the great, like the.
It is Jefferson. Yeah, I think he's just. One. That's it. The Cedric. I think that would challenge me as well, vocally, with my accent and everything, dialogue. I just think that would be great. Maybe that. And he obviously plays two characters, doesn't he? So that would be good.
But you're right. They are all incredible roles. And so basically this show, History Has Its Eyes on You, which is on Disney Plus now, it features Robin Roberts, who, she was amazing. She's an anchor for Good Morning America. And she has a conversation with some of the creatives, some of the cast members, as well as a Harvard historian and professor, the amazing Annette Gordon-Reed, who's there, and she provides all the historical facts. And they basically spent kind of 45 minutes talking about the show, everything from fluffy stuff like what it was like to be part of it and the hype, to their response post Black Lives Matter, or with Black Lives Matter and the show. Because I don't know if you've seen, there's been some stuff on social media about Hamilton and how it kind of brushes past slavery, and how some of these characters aren't, maybe the endings that we see for them in the musical aren't really true representations of actually what happened. And it was really interesting to hear the creatives and the cast and the historian all discussing their slant on it. I didn't think, when pressing play on this, I really didn't think they were going to go there and they were going to have that discussion. And I was so happy that they did. It was really amazing to hear this conversation. And it was Leslie Odom Jr., who of course played Burr, who kind of said, yeah, phenomenal. And he's such a clever man as well. I love watching interviews with him. He's someone that I could watch him perform all day, and I could listen to him talk on like podcasts all day, listen to his music as well all day. He's so talented in every way possible. And he was kind of saying that, look, yeah, in the future, he's excited to see what show someone else kind of creates, the springboard of Hamilton, and what creations come off the back of that. And he said, I'm sure one day there'll be another musical, another show that'll be written that'll make Hamilton look like this kind of like cute thing, you know. But actually, Hamilton has been this springboard, and it has kind of opened our eyes to an area of history. And they kind of said that, you know what, it doesn't have all the answers, but it raises a lot of questions. And if it does raise questions, then that's kind of a positive thing. And obviously, they said Lim kind of put his pen down in 2015, and then they're not adjusting it, it's not ongoing, they're not changing it, it's written, it is what it is. And I thought that was a really clever way of looking at it. And actually, we wouldn't be having this conversation if this musical was never written. And this musical, I think, has done so much for diversity and representation in all areas of casting, but also of music and style. And it was a massive step forwards. And I don't think it is actually perfect when you look into it, but we would not be having these conversations if it wasn't in existence. And it's moved forward, and then something else will come along and move us forward even more. Yeah. Does that make any sense?
I think what you said is spot on. It is a history lesson, and I think that's what you're saying. It's like modern day Shakespeare. It's just phenomenal the way it was written. Lin-Manuel, he's great.
Yeah, it is an incredible kind of show, and I think it's really important that theatre stops you and makes you think and makes you question things. To see, I mean, I just think everyone involved is so special. And in this special, you get to see the cast kind of sat around talking about it and reminiscing, and they're talking about like silly, like you were saying, Book of Mormon, about how what bits when they would make each other laugh on stage and those kind of things as well. And you can't imagine what it must have been like to be a part of that show in that year, when in its first year.
Just first cast.
So people must go watch Hamilton first if you haven't already on Disney Plus, and then watch History Has Its Eyes on You and sit back and strap yourself in for another history lesson. I wanted to ask you a bit more about your path into the industry, because I was hearing a bit on your podcast what you were saying, because you're saying you're a bit older and it took you longer to get your break, and you went back to university and did a degree, right?
Yeah.
So tell me more, like, you only started getting, was it you went Stagecoach when you were 16 or something? You said you were much kind of older.
I was in school, and I kind of got the love for like drama and stuff when I probably was about, let's say, 14.
Mm-hmm.
So then I think when I was 15, I then went to Stagecoach, which was like local to me in Southend. And I went there every Saturday, and then I went there only for a couple months. And then I, weirdly enough, I had just no one in my family does sort of thing. No one is in the arts in my family. So
they're all very sporty, right?
Yeah, I think my brother's like, yeah, he played football. Yeah, my sister did athletics, and then my little sister did swimming, but now she does fashion now, so she's kind of getting in there now. But yeah, no one kind of had any idea about it. So I remember, like, when it came to audition, I had no idea. So then I think my older sister was like, oh, I found somewhere for you to go. I've got an audition for you. I was like, what? So she's like, yeah, you got an audition next week. It's for CPA, it's closed down now. Collins Performing Arts. So I went there. Audition. I remember doing ballet in my trainers. What was I doing? Everyone was dressed in like the leotards and everything, and I was there in my trainers. And then the woman was like, point your feet. And I said, I had no idea what I was doing. So then I worked my way up, and then I finished there. And then, took a couple of years out. And then, just was kind of lost. You know, I did a couple of commercials, did panto. And then I decided that I had a job. And then I decided I was going to go to university and do a degree. And then I did a degree in musical theatre, and it's to become a lecturer, to become a teacher, teaching university level or college. And then I remember being in third year, and then we did American Idiot. And then I just kind of like fell in love with it. I was like, this is great. I went to go and see it in Bromley, in the Bromley Theatre. This is honestly a great show. I did that for my last show. And then my tutor was like, have a go. Why don't you actually just try again? Why don't you just try? I think I had my first audition for Five Guys Named Mo. That was how it started. That was how my journey started, and then I got back into it. So yeah, I got my break at 27. 27 is when I got my first break. So it's kind of crazy when you think about it. It's been a long journey for me, but yeah, just a year and a half of just going at it.
But
so
you're saying, like, it proves that it's never too late for other people. Like, it's, some people think, oh, if they're not in the West End by like 22, then it's over, or it's not a thing. But that's actually not true at all, is it?
Yeah, not at all. Definitely not at all. Like you said, you can do little things here and there. And I did quite a few commercials, and so kind of kept me in there and stuff. But yeah, I just think it's just having that willpower, and you have to have perseverance, because if you don't, you won't work. And it's not all about the West End. I think so many people are so fixated on the West End. Mm-hmm. And honestly, doing that King Gibbets tour prepared me for what I was going to do. If I didn't do that and I went straight into Mormon, I think probably I might have been out of my depth at the time. I don't think I was prepared. I was so many years out of the industry. So being in King Gibbets definitely prepared me. I learned so much from everyone. And I got to see the whole of like the UK and Ireland. So how amazing is that? And it was great before I did the West End. And the West End's great, but doing it later on, when you're mature and you're a bit older, amazing. But if there's a younger role for you, amazing, you know. But I definitely, like, things like Jamie and stuff helps people. Hairspray, that's phenomenal for that. And obviously, David Hansen, the guy from, you know, Sam Tattoo,
yeah.
Yeah, he's got his first break for that. So
yeah, he jumps.
Things like that, I love seeing it. But also, I'm not ashamed of my journey, if that makes sense. I'm really glad how I got to where I am today.
and then you probably appreciate it even more because you've like work, and then you can kind of be like, right, here I am. This is kind of what I've been working towards.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So
tell me more about Kinky Boots. We've had, I think, a few Kinky Boots cast members. Joshua Lovell was on here a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like you had a really special bunch of people in that show. And that show, obviously, again, it's another one that just evokes the most insane response from audiences. What was it like to be a part of?
It was great, honestly, to be part of. I saw Kinky Boots when Matt Henry was in it. So, I was in university. So weird. I've got a picture of me, you know, in that picture with the boots and stuff. And
Yeah.
I thought I was going to be in the show. So it's crazy. So I think that was 2015 when I took a picture of the boots. And I was like, oh my God. And then getting to do the show. But yeah, going around the UK with it in certain areas that are a bit more like, you know, Blackpool being one of them. But I think the promo building up to that, we got builders trying on the boots. We've got like, you know, different kind of people from walks of life trying on the boots as promo. And I think it's a great message. Every place we went to, it was great. It was honestly great. The audience, the way they perceived that show, it was honestly phenomenal getting to tour around the UK and Ireland.
And you had a special bunch of people in the show, right?
Yeah, honestly, the angels are great. Every single person, you know, from, you know, Kai Uche to working with Callum Francis. And obviously, you're so weird. I'm playing their dads and they're a lot older than me.
I don't know how you were playing Lola's dad at 27.
Yeah, it was so weird. It's so weird. I remember getting the call with that Simon Cena. I was like, okay. And then I remember going for my fitting. And the woman was like, you're a bit young. And I was like, well, I didn't cast myself, did I? So
people in the front row have been like, what? But far away, that's the magic of theatre.
You know what? I got in the door and I got given opportunity, regardless if I looked a bit younger. But, you know, I had the wig on and...
I don't think you did. When I saw it, I don't think I would have realised.
Because they cut the beginning, and you don't really see something in the beginning like that. You only see the back of him.
Yeah.
The normal structure, I think, because we didn't have any kids. They kind of cut that bit. But it was great. And obviously, I was part of the ensemble as well, so... I had a lot of fun. It was such a fun show to do, and the cast were just great. It was so much fun. Things happened on the stage. I remember when Josh Sinclair was on for Charlie, and he was doing the Everybody Say Yeah, and his boot fell in the audience, and it was just insane. I remember being on stage and just like, you can't hide the shock that goes in your face. You just have to perform, but you're like, oh my God, that just happened. The whole stage we're in tears, like of laughter. I don't know how we got through that number. So many funny things.
What happened? Did they put it back on the stage, or did they like run off with it?
No, I think it fell in the pit.
Fell in the pit.
Yeah, fell in the pit. And yeah, they managed to get obviously the backstage. They were great. Ran round, got the boot, and then they managed to get it stylistically on stage again.
I was just imagining it like falling some poor old deer's lap on the front row. Yeah.
I think if it actually got to one of the audience members, we wouldn't have received that back. So funny. So many fun things that happened. That's what I love about live theatre.
Yeah, oh, that's the beauty of it. This is Flying By. Thank you so much for doing this.
No worries.
People need to go and check out your podcast, TBH Podcast. It's on YouTube. It's in all the normal places as well, right? Yeah. And where can they find you on social media?
It's at Fred Smiley on Instagram and Fred Smiley on Twitter. Yeah, you'll find me.
Lovely stuff. And I cannot wait when this is over to come and see you in the Book of Mormon.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be great, man. But thanks for having me. Honestly, it's been a pleasure. It's been great.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the West End Frame Show. Make sure you subscribe. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, it'd be amazing if you could leave a little rating and review. Our interviews podcast, In the Frame, continues this Friday with the amazing Asmerette Gabriel McKell, who was in Dreamgirls most recently in the West End as Laurel. And she was an Abalungi in Book of Mormon as well.
Oh, wow.
See, all the best people have been in Book of Mormon. So make sure you check that out on Friday. And we always love hearing from you. So make sure you follow West End Frame on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'll be back next week for another Stagey catch-up. Yes!